Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama, and you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my rush. Thought like Junior C. That's my
Tuesday, everybody, and it is almost the middle of the week. Hey, sis.
Hey, sister. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I missed it last week, man. It felt so weird.
I know. The time went by so quickly, so it feels like we just did it, but it's crazy that it's been 2 weeks already.
I know.
So crazy. Looks like Dad is having some technical difficulties also, so he might not make it on. Something's wrong with the phone.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to hold it down until he can get on with us.
Yep. That might be a sign after what today's topic is, even though he's one of the best people to talk about it.
That's funny. But, yeah, no, we, you know, it's National Women's Month. And it's National Social Work Month, so shout out to all the women out there, and shout out to all the social workers. That is my expertise.
Oh, and
so
you're both
I'm a little bit hyped. I'm a
you're
little hyped over, you know, whenever March comes around, and it's my birthday month, so you know I'm celebrating all month long.
Oh yeah, it's still March. What in the world? I feel like it's been March forever. It's like a repeat of January.
We just started.
So crazy. It's going to be over before we know it, especially since I'm on vacation this month. So this month is going to be over before I know it.
Oh, man. Lucky. So let's just do a recap of what happened this month so far? Because there were so many events that happened. I was just like, what is going on?
I don't even know. I think that the biggest thing, first of all, once they started talking about R. Kelly, I think that they forgot all about Jussie altogether. He's like not even in existence anymore. Once R. Kelly, we haven't done it since he did that interview with Gayle King. I don't think
he did that within the last couple of days.
That was a disaster. Not only was that a disaster. Oh, look who's on. So we have our special, I don't even want to say special guest because you are one of the three, but the guest of honor, the host of honor is now on the line. I see you, Dad.
Hotep family. How's it going?
Hey, Daddy.
All right. Yeah, I can't get through where I wanted to go, so I'm coming at you a different way.
Oh, well, that sounds good. As long as you're here, that's all that matters.
That's it.
We were talking,
that's the bottom line. How's it going?
We were just talking about some current events. So we were talking about the interview that R. Kelly had with with Gayle King. And unfortunately, Saturday Night Live did a skit on and he called her Jail King. He was like, so you telling me you're not the Jail King? He's like, so why am I here? So that was a disaster. Yeah, that was a disaster. But I think that was pretty much what's been on everybody's mind. And, oh my goodness! And also, the thing about Michael Jackson, that was a new one. I feel like it was a domino effect from the thing with. I mean, I'm sure it was in the works before that, but I feel like it was a domino effect from R. Kelly documentary. Which I'm not really a fan of the Michael Jackson thing. While I do believe that if you are a victim, you have the right to speak, I do feel like it's a little bit unfortunate because, you know, he's not here to defend himself. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a difficult situation because you can't tell people what they did or didn't experience, but you also, you know, he's not here to defend himself. He can't say, you know, he can't defend himself. So I'm a little torn with that.
Well, you see, and then you have the other piece is what's going on with Jussie Smollett.
Which disappeared from the face of the earth.
Yes. Now, what's interesting is that, and what I am very interested in is a term that's called synecdoche. S-Y-N-E-C-D-O-C-H-E. It's a term that defines or is defined by the fact that the part defines the whole. And the whole defines the part. In other words, for those that are listening, you know how it is when you hear something atrocious happen? And we as peoples of African descent, one of the first things that goes through our mind, many of us, is I hope he or she is not black. What has happened is that in this society has put it so that we have to take responsibility as a group. Some of us do. And my interest in this conversation is that if that be true, then I have to say that peoples of European descent eat black people.
Oh, God.
Just as Jeffrey Dahmer was cannibalistic.
Wow.
If that be true, then it means that all Asians, as a group,
oh, God.
In other words, what I'm saying is that for some reason, we take responsibility for R. Kelly. We take the responsibility, and they use it. They skillfully use it to play with our heads, to play with our minds, to make it seem like even when you deal with rap music, right? There was a piece that I was watching today where they were talking about this young brother who has written a song about killing police.
Oh, God.
And it's almost as if, because if you're going to do that, if rap music is responsible for violence, then Al Pacino, who has played very violent parts, and Marlon Brando, who played The Godfather, and people who play different parts in movies, then they have to be accused of inciting violence too.
Yeah.
But for some reason, if a rapper sings about something, and I'm not saying that I appreciate all sorts of stuff, I'm not going there with this conversation. What I'm saying is that they have psychologically, skillfully put us in a place where we must take responsibility for what everybody within our community does. Mm-hmm. That's what synecdoche does. So if we're sitting there watching what happens with R. Kelly, no matter if innocent, guilty, Michael Jackson, innocent, guilty, Jussie Smollett, innocent, guilty. I'm not going there with this conversation. What I am saying is that we all are collectively supposed to be ashamed of them, and it reflects us as a people, and it doesn't. Because if individuals within our group represent our group, that I'm going to hold Europeans responsible for that young man that went into that church and killed those 9 people. You have to. He replaced you. And it never dawns on them that they take responsibility for that. They don't take responsibility for what those in their group do. So why should
they live carefree lives? Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And if somebody does something horrible, they did something horrible. But it doesn't reflect
the slave. Yeah, but it's still a slave mentality where everybody has to act right. That's why your kids got to act perfect out in the street. And their kids can act a fool out in the street, but our kids have to act properly, quote unquote. It's still we're still afraid of being, you know, being punished by people who are of an oppressive nature. We still have that fear, even though we act like we're not afraid. We still have the fear. we also care too much what people think and people say. Like, you know, we care so much that, oh, they're going to think I'm this way, they're going to think I'm that way. If they're going to think that, they're going to think that regardless of how you act and how you present yourself, because people who matter don't mind, and those that mind don't matter.
Steal your brother's. You're going to steal your brother's quote.
I
like
am.
And not give him credit.
Shout out to
you. Did you see that article that came out today? Big news today about the scam in terms of education
Loughlin?
And college entrance.
Was it, what's her name? The Hoffman.
Felicia
the one
Hoffman.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, but Lori Loughlin was on Full House. Like, she was, what was her name on Full House? Whatever, Uncle Jesse's wife, whatever her name was on Full House.
That's
the
crazy
only place
that
I know her from.
But the thing is that this is happening. It's happening more than it's coming out. It's just that the light is being shed on it more. But this has been
the
going on forever.
The light
yeah,
is called social media.
Yeah, it's been going on forever. That's how a lot of people get to where they have to get, because they cheat, steal, they bribe, anything that they can do.
That's how Donald Trump's son made it into where did he go? I think he went from Fordham to University of Pennsylvania or the other way around. And then he said something negative about what was going on with this new case. But that's how he got into college. So
he's
hypocritical as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of Donald Trump, who challenged President Obama's grades and said he really didn't earn those grades. And at the same time, he was threatening the colleges that he had gone to if they dared to release his transcript. See, this is what Humpty Crumpty is about.
Crazy, but it's so crazy that you have to laugh about it. It's the same thing about the birth certificate. He kept saying, oh, Obama's not from the United States, but how could he be
president?
But
none of his wives are.
Yeah, he doesn't want to, but also he doesn't want to release his tax information. So it's like, how are you going to try to call somebody out, and then you're not willing to do what you're trying to call them out about? Like,
it goes back to
sense.
Richard Spencer. It goes back to Richard Spencer, the European American who is very fragile. You might want to call him white supremacist. I call him a white fragilist. But in the movie Race War, as I've said before, he said the most important thing in the movie. Like I told the group, I would like to think that I said the most important thing. My ego says that. But the reality says he said the most important thing, and this is something that we, as people of African-American descent, whether we speak English or French or Dutch, Spanish, we have to understand what he said. He said it's not about morality. It's about winning. He said morality is weakness.
Mm-mm.
This is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with someone who will wait for you to turn your back. They will ambush you in the night. They will lie. They will steal. They will cheat. And they will tolerate those that do. Just look at the Republican Party as they relate to the dishonesty of some of their own and how they lie while they are more guilty of what it is they're accusing other people of doing. We're not dealing with a moral people. And synecdoche, we have to study this and understand that we must not take the collective responsibility for what individuals do. And it's very important for us, as we're watching what's happening, not to get into the habit of keep saying, I hope he's not black, or I hope he's not Hispanic, because we have a collective shame. They have forced a collective shame on us that they themselves don't live up to.
But you know,
so when
I
watch
R.
Kelly, innocent, guilty, I don't know. But my thing is, he doesn't represent me. Michael Jackson doesn't represent me. Jussie Smollett doesn't represent me. But I will support somebody until they are found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're found guilty, if you have done the crime, you must do the time, no matter what your cultural background is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel. And we're getting too caught up. I know what it feels, because inside of me, there's a part of me that says, oh, man, why? But then I say, but that's not me. Gayle King wasn't interviewing me.
Mm-hmm.
But
something to think about as a people as we move forward. Because they're going to come after us now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at those sisters up there in Congress, they're doing their thing. That's why I say I have a lot of respect. This is the age of the woman. And sisters are doing their thing. They're not playing. Stacey Abrams, hey, let's stop and just say, who ruled the world? More power.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's true. It's very true. We got to stop being so conditioned to, you know, do as people are telling us we need to do. Like, those that succeed in life are the ones who, you know, step outside of the bubble, the ones who will not, you know, take what everybody's saying for face value, the ones that will challenge and move past and study and understand and, you know, get a better understanding of what they want to do and not worry about what other people are telling them that they want to do. And as women, we do that. We have to continue to do that. And we're, you know, the more we succeed in it is the more that people are stepping out and saying, wait a minute, you know, I can do this, as opposed to hearing constantly in your life, oh, no, you can't do it. No, yes, you can do it. You can do it and you can continue to do it because you can do whatever you put your mind to. That's all that matters in life. You have to realize the real deal of what matters in life and not what is this fictitious storytelling, you know, that we're experiencing. We have to realize, you know, do I really like this? Is this making me happy? Can I, you know, can I live with this? Is this who I want to be? Is this what I want to do? As opposed to living something that you think you need to live. You know, those that step out and do their own, like, time and time again, I'll use the example of Cardi B. The reason people accept and respect her to the degree that they do, despite her, some of her antics are a little bit much, is because she's doing it because that's her, and she's not trying to be anybody else. There was nobody close to what Cardi B was, you know, her persona, the way in which she reacted to things. She was just being herself. She was being unique. She wasn't trying to, you know, pretend to be Beyonce or pretend to be, you know, Nicki Minaj or pretend to be anybody else. People respected her because she said what she wanted to. She came out. She was a comedian. She's very funny naturally, and, you know, she's not putting anything on. So that's why people respect and appreciate her so much. And, you know, that should just show that in our society today, we can do that. We can have our own personalities. Because the more you try to look and sound like somebody else, is the more you're losing who you are.
But a lot of us are trying to do that. And you know, with what we're going through, it makes me understand what Daddy says about the 3 out of 100 a lot more. Because I realize that it's not even necessarily that the 3 out of 100 aren't ready. I mean, it is. But a lot of them are sheep. A lot of people are just going with the flow and doing whatever somebody tells them to do. Like, for me, I'm very opinionated. If I don't agree, I don't agree. And it doesn't matter. You know, somebody the other day told me about staying on code. And I'm like, so what you're telling me is that you're going to go from being controlled by white people now to being controlled by black people and letting other black people tell you what is right, what you should be doing, how you should be dressing, what you should be buying. And nobody's actually doing anything to progress. Everybody's just telling everybody what they should be doing. And there's a few people that are doing positive things, and everybody else is acting like sheep. And they're trying to figure out what is being said and trying to figure out what is going on and making other people feel bad about them, about exactly what you said. If you are the type of person that you speak your truth and you speak who you are, the sheep will try to make you feel bad about being yourself.
Yeah.
Because and sheep are very good at manipulating.
But it's just because people are jealous at the fact of those that actually can speak and act and do
exactly
on their own.
Like, they look
exactly.
at it as who they, who are they? Why do they think that they can be different? Why do they think that they can do this? But it's a lot of the energies are channeled wrong. A lot of times they don't realize that it's jealousy. They wish they could do what the other person is doing, and they feel a certain way because they can't. So we have to start stop looking at things for what they are and really understand and channel and understand why you're feeling the way you're feeling. You're not angry. You're jealous, or you're upset, or you're envious, or, you know, you're sad because
or you're
you
incapable
wish that you could
of
do
being,
that.
Or you're incapable of being who you truly want to be. So when somebody else is who they want to be, you try to make them feel bad about being that person.
Yeah.
And that's
well, it's not
thing
even
that,
about
that's
incapable. It's about mind control. It's about mind.
But I think that means
about,
that they're incapable
you know,
of being who they want to be. And my
well,
that's just my
feel
opinion.
As though they feel as though they're incapable because they're
yeah.
not incapable. Anybody can be who they want to be, but the mind will trap you to the
but
point
in,
where
in
you
their
feel
mind
like
they
can.
Are. Yeah, in their mind they're incapable. Anybody can do anything. But because they feel like they can't do it, that's why I was saying I have never been jealous of anybody. Because anything that I've ever wanted, if I really wanted it, I'm happy for the person that has it. But I've never tried to sabotage somebody else because they have it. The amount of people that come at me because if I have an opinion about something, it may not be part of the popular opinion. I'm going to talk about it anyway. I'm going to have an opinion about it anyway. And there's a lot of people that can be nothing but sheep. And I don't care if you're a sheep following a black leader, a white leader. I don't care what kind of sheep you are. A sheep is a sheep, and I have never been that type of person. So now with all of these, you know, with all of the stuff that's going on, everybody is I don't even know how to is going along with what Daddy's saying. Like, we can't take responsibility for everything that everybody is doing. We're looking at, we're still trying to pull each other down, and we're still trying to judge each other, and we're giving people that wish us harm, we are giving them ammunition. And it shouldn't be like that, because even we do it to white people too. Like, if there's a white person or there's a suspect, like when that sniper in D.C. happened, the way that it was happening, everybody assumed that the sniper was white just because of what was going on. The sniper, I think the sniper ended up being Jamaican or something, and everybody was shocked. But we all put people into categories, and we don't allow people to be who they are. We make assumptions about other people. We don't have the right to make assumptions about other people.
Yeah.
And
but that's,
we,
that's
you know,
how, but that's how it is nowadays. When, you know, when we see certain things, instead of us fact-checking, instead of us researching, we just go on face value, you know. And it's like a get-rich-quick scheme. It's like, you know, I need to be the first one to get to this conclusion, so therefore I'm going to make it up, and if it sounds right, then I'm going to go with it. And, you know, a lot of times people appreciate a dirty lie as opposed to a complete truth. Because if it's juicy, if it's like, oh, I, you know, this makes more sense, this sounds better, they're going to go with it.
When I talk about that, I talk about what Charlamagne said, why believe the truth when the lie is more entertaining? And that's exactly how it is. And it, but on one hand, we're fighting for something, and I realize that, it's, you know, it's there's a lot tied into it. But on one hand, we're fighting for the right to be ourselves. But at the same time, we're telling each other how to be, which doesn't seem right to me. And I know that it's a work in progress, but I see it from the outside. I can't be what somebody else wants me to be just because they feel like that's what's black enough or that's what, you know, whatever the situation is. If I want to wear a certain hairstyle, if I want to wear a certain outfit, I don't feel like anybody should tell me what I should and shouldn't do because that's their opinion. Nobody has the right to, the same way we don't want other people telling us how we should live our lives and how we should raise our kids and how we should live in our communities. We shouldn't do it to each other either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. I heard Dr. King say one day that the day that he shook white supremacy off of his back, he was able to do it because he stood up straight. But when he stood up straight to shake white supremacy off his back, he also stood up straight to make sure that no one else would be able to climb on.
Mm.
Because, you know, if you just shake something off your back, but you stay with a bent back, something else can climb up on top of it.
That's true.
But when you stand up straight, and you know what's really sad? Now, here's my greatest disappointment, and this crosses cultures. This goes beyond just black, white, or whatever culture you may be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that our Creator has given each and every one of us a wonderful divine gift that we are to cultivate in our lives. And I think that the way this society is based, it is based on the principles of evil. Important that no matter who you are, you have something to contribute to society.
Mm-hmm.
The more time you spend trying to tell other people who they are or who they may not be is a moment that you cannot cultivate who you were born to be.
That is true.
And that's very sad to me, because do you know where we could be as a human family if some of the atrocities, and even when the atrocity was committed, such as the attack on indigenous people by Europeans coming to this country, or Africans who were forcibly brought here. Even after all those horrible things, as of 1865, this society had an opportunity to correct their evil ways. Even after that, they decided not to. They had another opportunity to do it during the civil rights movement. They chose not to. Even with the election of President Barack Obama, there was another opportunity to get this thing that we've been living wrong, still chose not to. And it's disappointing because we could be so far more advanced as a human family. And we're just wasting so much creative time. Because the principalities of evil have taken over our minds, so that, as you quoted Charlemagne, Sasha, you know, why go with the truth when the lie is entertaining? This is where people are. Why not go? Because the truth will set you free. That's the answer. Why do you choose clean truth over a dirty lie? Is because that clean truth may not be entertaining, but it will set you free. But we choose to be captive. And this is why I wish that Kanye had expressed himself clearer when he made that mention of the 400 years.
Yeah,
I wish he had been clearer in what he said and how he said it, because no matter what, and people jumped on me about it, because I said, but he was right, but it's just the way he presented it in his words was confusing, because he made it seem like he was saying that Africans chose to be enslaved to come to America 400 years ago, but that's not what he was saying. He was saying, after 400 years of watching what's going on, if you continue to choose to do this, you are choosing to be enslaved.
Yep, it's true.
And I understood what he said. I just wish he had said it clearer. That's very important for us as a people. We have a lot of work we have to do, but we up in everybody's business. And I told you what club I belong to. I belong to the club that that title, I Mind My Own Damn Business. Because the day I started minding my business, I came to realize how much business I had to mind.
That is.
You know, we in each other's personal relationships. But I'm too busy trying to keep mine right.
But people do it because But people do it because they, first of all, may not have any business of their own to mind. They don't live lives that they're truly excitable about, or they're ashamed of the lives that they're living. So now I'm a critique everybody else's life because my life is so sad that I don't even want anybody to look at me. I'm going to look at everybody else's life so that, you know, mm-hmm. they feel so bad and they retreat and they don't, you know, they don't realize that I'm doing this out of spite and out of anger because, you know, I can't get my life together.
And what's sad is that they have such a beautiful life to live.
Yeah.
That's what's sad, but for whatever reason, the things
mm-hmm.
that have happened in their life have clouded their ability to see how great they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad to me. Every mm-hmm. one of us, no matter what your cultural background is, let's be real about this. Everybody, every human being, no matter what your cultural background is, you have a wonderful opportunity to do wonderful things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to what you're talking about. Both you, Sasha, and Kondike, you are expressing ideas that, and I guess it goes back half your mother and half me. You grew up knowing that you can do whatever you want to do. And there is no one out here that's better than you. I never told you that you were better than others. But
mm-hmm.
I told you that no one was better than you. And whatever they had, if you admired it, see if somehow or other you could apply admire that have had things that I wish that I had. But instead of putting them down or trying to take what they had,
mm-hmm.
I sat at their feet to try to figure out how did they get it so that in my own way, I could get it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to take somebody else's stuff. I don't need to put someone else down if they got something good. That's why we have to move forward with this and tell our children, you can accomplish what you will.
Up you mighty race.
That's it. And that's what Marcus Garvey meant when he said it. You will accomplish what you will.
Mm.
That's the definition of magic in Egypt. Heka, H-E-K-A, Heka. Heka means will. You will something to happen. Our ancestors on the plantation willed their freedom.
Mm.
Rosa Parks willed the liberation of black people. You will it to happen. You don't. It's in air. You work for it. And you make it happen. And I just wish that we would
true.
Move away from allowing other people to define us and make us think that, okay, there's R. Kelly now. That's the black man. Okay, there's Michael Jackson. You see, that's the black man. You see, Justice Smollett, that's the black man. No, that's not. That is a black man, or that's three black men. But there's a whole bunch more out here in the street that are doing good things. But you don't show them.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But we have to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Get the paralysis out the analysis, Dr. Leonard Jeffries tells us. Get it out.
That's crazy. But, you know, on a lighter note, you know, we have to now look at how amazing we actually are and how amazing we're going to be. You know, as a race, we have to realize, you know, and see that the reason the way you know is if people try to go against you. So, like, we have to realize how amazing we are. And once we realize how amazing we actually are as a people, you know, with our culture, with our differences, with our, you know, ability to adapt and ability to survive everything that's thrown at us. The day we realize how amazing we are is the day that we will be able to overcome a lot of what we've been experiencing throughout our lives.
That's right.
So, you know, now is the time to sit and realize that, you know, this is the time for us to realize how amazing we are and look in the mirror and see our beauty. not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. And
that's right.
Just be happy. Just there's so much that goes on in the world that, you know, people are dying every day. People are getting sick. People
uh-huh.
are, you know, experiencing not happy situations that sometimes they don't have control over. So we just have to realize that we have to be who we want to be, because life is short and it's promised to nobody. You know,
yep.
tomorrow is not promised to anybody. We have to realize that the more we sit there and look on social media and criticize people, how do you feel after you sit there and criticize? Does that make you feel better? Does dimming somebody's light make you feel better? It doesn't. And it's not supposed to. It's a temporary relief for what you're experiencing. And, you know, a lot of times we don't know how to react to a certain situation. So the immediate thing is to live in that anger. We have to bring ourselves out of this anger and out of this upset and out of this, you know, situation where we're down in the dumps, and then we keep staying there, and we're bringing other people down with us. We need to uplift each other. We need to move past it. We need to just, you know, realize that there are certain situations that are out of control, out of our control, but there's a lot of situations where in which we control ourselves. So for me, I know if I'm having a good day, I'm going to continue to have a good day, and I'm going to make other people have good days. For those that are having a bad day, you pass along that negative energy to one another, you continue to have
mm-hmm.
a bad day, and you pass along that negative energy to other people, you know, as opposed to if you're having a bad day, take a couple of minutes, take a second, you know, to yourself, take a breather, and collect yourself, because negativity only breeds negativity. We have to continue to be positive, you know, and a lot of people, they don't understand that. They don't understand the happiness. But then, you know, a lot of people at my job, they'll like say, I just, you know, I love when I'm around you because you just make me happy. You bring the sunshine. And it's not because the way in which I look. It's because of my personality and my positivity that I, you know, emit when I just say, hello, hi, how are you? And people respond to me in a happy way, and they feel so much better about themselves. You know, we have to continue to be positive despite everything else that's going on around us and get away from the negative. If you notice something negative, you know, a lot of times you're not going to be able to change the negative to a positive. You can try. There's times I've tried to be happy around negative people, but sometimes they'll bring my positivity down. You know,
mm-hmm.
we just have to realize what it is. And help those sometimes that need helping, but there's other times that we can't help them and realize that their problems are not our problems, you know. And the perfect example of that is sometimes when I'm doing my sessions with people, I take their energy with me, and I start to realize, like, why do I feel like this? And I'm like, oh, it's because I just experienced vicarious, you know, energies from other people towards me, you know, and the baggage that sometimes people bring. And it's like a lot of times, you know, we can help others with just a hello, how are you? Just acknowledging them. Just, I see you. I hear you. I feel you. I know how you feel. You know, it's okay. It's all right. Everything's going to be okay. Everything tomorrow will be better than today. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said to them, how are you feeling? They're like, well, today's not a good day. And I said, today will be a better day. Don't worry. Or tomorrow will be better than today. You know, it's not a bad day. It's an off day. And allow yourself to have those. My rant now.
We were waiting for you to finish. So
I know.
I think that
I'm finished now.
I think that leads us into we'll just take a quick break. We're gonna play a song that, you know, kind of goes into
the discussion for today. We want to do a little bit of current events in the beginning, and then once we come back, we are going to be talking about the age of the woman. So I believe that this is the perfect song to lead us into that conversation. So we'll be back.
Yeah. Yes.
So I love this song, but it's so much better with the video. Like, there's nothing like this Run the World video with Beyonce with the dancers, and there's nothing like. And you know, I think that one of the biggest problems with such an amazing song is that a lot of times we feel like when women, you know, say things to be empowered, and when we say things like this, it's an assumption that we're saying that we're better than men, or that men have no place in running the world. And that's not what it's about. But our communities originally understood the role of women and the purpose of women and the strength, the visual of what a man is supposed to be is an authentically African thing when it pretty much a white way of thinking. Because in the in authentic African communities, the whole community understood the importance of women. The whole community understood that the people, the elders that you went to were normally women. When it came to wisdom, when it came to understanding healing, that was a woman. And the fact that we live in this country and we've lived in this country for so long and we don't understand the role of women, a lot of times our men act like being a strong black woman is a negative thing. When that is something that the reason why it has changed so drastically is because we live in the Western part of the world. Is that your understanding, Daddy, as well?
You know, what's interesting, when I was listening to your song and in my presentations that I do, one of the things that I always say, because I do know that when I speak the way I speak about this being the age of the woman, and I speak in terms of recognizing, you know, the role that women have played historically, at least from my perspective as an African or even as an original community. We have to move beyond just saying African, because there is only one race. That's the human race. And that human race was born and educated and civilized in Africa. So we use the term Africa, but many times that becomes a cultural term. But there is only one way to look at the world, and it is the African way. So that when you look at society, the original societies were shaped by women. And as a man, I'm very proud to be a man. I'm very proud to be who I am. But I recognize through ma'at, through balance and harmony, how societies are structured. And one of the downfalls of Western civilization is the role of women in the society. That is what has brought us to the cusp of destruction. And we have to understand that when women are recognized for the role that they play in the structure and the shaping of the society, then the society, because without a man, without the man, the woman could not do what she does. So it's not that one is more important than the other. It is not that one is better than the other. It's not a superior or an inferior thing. It is about understanding the roles of the male energy and the female energy. And understanding how that's developed to build great societies. Remember, in Africa, you don't have a term called king father, but you do have a term called queen mother. So that one of the greatest advantages to the Obama White House, which we don't really discuss too much, the reason why that was such a successful society was because it was based on an African model. Because do you know who really made the White House function? Michelle Obama's mother. Because when Michelle Obama's mother, Queen Mother, because Queen Mother is the mother of the mother. When the Queen Mother was in the White House, Michelle Obama's mother, she was able to structure because Michelle was able to support President Obama. And what made Michelle Obama, First Lady, be able to help him so good was because Queen Mother took care of all the things that most First Ladies have to do. She kept that house functioning. She was the one with the two girls, Sasha and Malia. She was the one that made sure that everything that was supposed to happen happened, which allowed Michelle Obama, her daughter, to be able to do what she had to do, which what she did was to help President Obama. There has been no presidency in the history of the United States that has been so clearly perfect in its structure.
Hmm.
Many of us don't talk about that, but that's why she was invisible. That's why you didn't see too much of her, because the Queen Mother's job is not to be seen. It is just to do and make sure you keep things in place. And who better to do it than the woman that brought forward the First Lady?
Hmm.
And so the role of the woman in the White House was so clear, because believe me, I don't think any president, particularly this one, has a woman so clearly balanced and intelligent as Michelle Obama was. Because remember, she
definitely
was
not
his mentor. She was his mentor.
Mm-hmm.
What president has ever been married to his mentor? He was attached to her to learn the ropes in that law firm. He listened to her. What she told him to do, she did.
Mm-hmm.
But what was so phenomenal is that they so fell in love with each other. She quit her job in order to be able to have that relationship with him. Powerful expression of love.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I try to tell the brothers, because I talk to them about this when there's no women in the room. See, when women are in the room, everybody thinks I'm just saying it to patronize or to get women to say, oh, go ahead, bruh. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this to save our planet. I'm doing this to save our planet, and I'm just trying to get us to understand that the African woman, the original mother of the planet, that is why you have the mother of God and not the father of God. That's why that's why the image of the Savior is sitting on his mother's lap, not his father's lap. That's why our set symbol is a throne. Because while a man may sit on the throne, the throne is what makes him royal.
Wow.
And that's why we have to understand this as brothers, or even as, and even sisters, I have to say, don't take this like it's making you superior.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is about. This is about understanding that the role of men is to inspire. The role of women is to shape.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm was inspired by men. But Malcolm X was shaped by the women in his life, from his mother to his sister Ella to Clara Muhammad, the wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to his wife Betty Shabazz, and to his six daughters, two of whom he never knew. But they were the ones that shaped him. His mother brought him into the world. His sister helped him develop his thought process. Clara Muhammad was his first teacher. His wife taught him how to be a man, and his daughters taught him how to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's going on now. It just is not always going in the right direction, because our men are still inspired by other men and shaped by the women. But the women are sometimes not in the best frame of mind. The men are sometimes not in the best frame of mind, but what you said is still accurate. They're shaped by their mothers and by their grandmothers, but they're inspired to do certain things because of the men that are around them. And it's not always the most positive situation. We have to, and I know it's easier said than done, but we really have to break the cycle of things that are going on now. There's nothing that we can do about what is happening to us by other people. But there is absolutely something that we can do that of what's happening to us by ourselves and by each other. We don't have to be in the situation that we're in. And I understand that it's a mental
It's mental, and it's a thing that we need to work on, and there are still forces that are, you know, putting their foot on our necks and not let and then telling us to get up. And that is something that is we know that it's going on. We know about mass incarceration. We know about the negativity. We know that they've made black women the face of welfare. We know that they're trying to make black men the face of sexual assault. We know this. So we have to start doing things within the community to make it a better situation, because there's nothing that's going to happen if we continue. One thing that is something that I despise is when people that have a platform are doing nothing but making us angry. And that is an unfortunate thing that happens. And, I'm not really sure how to go around it, because I have conversations with people, and all they do is talk about how angry they are, but nobody has a plan on how to be better. The moment we stop complaining is the moment we have to stop putting things into action. And I think we're right on the cusp of that. We are still talking about what's going on and what people are doing to us, but we're not talking about what we are doing to make things better. And the moment that we start talking about what we need to do to make things better is the moment that we can move forward. Because you raised us, you and mommy raised us to be who we are. But you still have the ability to talk to other people and to make them understand it. But not everybody had someone like you from birth to be able to raise them to be decent people. So we can see things from a different point of view while still understanding. We want people to get up and do something and make sure that they're okay, make sure that they never have to worry about where their next meal from. When the government shut down, people that were on government assistance, and I understand that it's needed for some people, but for the people that use it for, you know, that's their job and that's the only income they'll ever see and they never try to do anything else, for people like that, they were wondering where their next meal was coming from once February came. You know, everybody was scrambling, and then they were spreading rumors about you can't shop at certain stores because people that are on government assistance are going to rob you if they see you have a debit card. Like, it was a really unfortunate conversation that we were having because we didn't have a plan B. We didn't have a plan to not depend on, especially for us. You know, we talk about the government and we talk about white supremacy, and not us specifically, but the community talks about all these horrible things that the man, quote unquote, is doing. But you are depending on the man to give you a paycheck every month. And we have to do better. We have to make sure that even if we need it for a period of time, it is not something that we depend on for the rest of our life. There are so many things that we cannot depend on. We cannot. If these conversations are happening, we can't be the first ones to be afraid of what we're going to lose because we think that we're the ones that are on government assistance when there's more white women and more white people on government assistance than us, but we're the only ones that are scared once things like the government shutdown happen. When they talk about it in politics, when they talk about certain things, they talk about all of the government assistance and Section 8, and then they make it seem like that is a black problem. And that's not a black problem, but because they've made black people the face of government assistance, black, even for us, our community thinks that it's a conversation that we need to have because all of us are part of the system, and all of us are not. And there's nothing even wrong with being part of the system, but because they've made black people, especially black women, in the face of government assistance, they make it seem like it's a bad thing. And in this, when we're talking about the age of the woman, we really have to take into consideration, you know, one of the things that I will always remember, Daddy, is you teaching us that we should never have to wonder where our next meal is coming from. No matter what happens, we need to be able to take care of ourselves. Even if we are in a loving relationship where we are well taken care of and we are supported 100%, we still have to have in the back of our mind that we will not crumble if the person that we are with doesn't want us anymore or they're not around. Like, you should never have to crumble if your source of income is not around. You should know in your mind, even if you're not doing anything, even if you're not working, you should know in the back of your mind that you will survive if your main source of income is no longer in your life. And that's one of the mental things that we need to break apart from, the mental control, regardless of if you feel like you are pro-black and you are doing all these things and you're on code, which still that still annoyed me from the moment I saw it. That annoyed me. But you can be on code, but you still have in your mind the fact that we are talking about certain things, it remains to show that there are certain oppressive forces that still have a control and have a foot on your back. Even if you feel like you are fighting against it, the fact that you're fighting against it means you believe it has a foot on your back and a foot on your neck and a foot in your house. You believe these things because if you didn't, you would be fighting for your progression and your betterment of your people as opposed to fighting somebody else that because you think that they have control over your life. See, you ranted and then I ranted.
You know, when you say that, you know, it reminds me of what I used to always tell you from when you was a little girl. When you were little girls, I used to tell you, you have to make it so that if the person with whom you're in love with or having a relationship with, your partner should leave. What I used to say, make it so that they're worried where their next meal is coming from, not you.
And that's exactly what I was talking about when I said it. All the time.
I know.
And that's how I used to express that to you.
Yeah.
That's how I used to tell it to you as little girls.
Yeah.
Make it so that they're worried about where their next meal is coming from. Because so many of our people who are dependent on their partner, they stay because they have nothing else to do.
Exactly. And they don't believe
their life
that they're
is
good
dependent.
Enough. Exactly.
And that creates an independence. Your relationships will flourish. They'll be wonderful. But in the back of your mind, you understand that you stand strong, that you are capable of taking care of yourself, and that no one else determines your future. You determine your future.
And then you know that you love the person because you love them and not because you feel like you're dependent on them for your well-being.
That's right. That's not. And it frees you and it frees them also to know that this individual is with me because of me, and not because of what I have. And this is what's so important about our sisters and what I see happening as it relates to the development of this society. There is a change happening, and while we're looking at the great challenges that we have, those challenges is what made the good things happen. It was funny that when President Obama was giving his address and he spoke about all of the women who were now employed because of him and all the women that were dressed in white, all the new Congress people who were newly elected, all the women stood up and clapped because he didn't even realize what he was saying. The reason why there were so many women, young women, voted for was because how horrible he was. So he was responsible for them being elected.
President Trump, you talking about?
And he didn't even get it. He didn't get it. He said, I didn't think you were going to react like that.
Because he
didn't understand what he actually said. The society now is saying, look, it appears that we need to go back to the original model because these men, I don't know, and these old men, this old way of doing things, we got to change that. Bring the young feminine energy in to correct the wrong. And that's what's happening. And I got nothing but respect. It's time. But that's because I understand the African tradition. I still can be a man and understand the importance of the role of women in the society, if not in my own life. And, you know, like you say, this is what's going on, but men just don't want to admit it.
It's that macho mentality.
Well, they're afraid because we've been so inundated with white male domination and control and containment. We're trying to be like them. And sisters don't roll like that.
And I don't even think black men know that they're trying to be like white men. I don't think that they realize it or that they're doing it on purpose. I think that they're just so busy trying not to drown that they're turning into, you know, it was like with Kanye West and the other, I forgot his name, what they said to President Trump in that meeting when they said that Jim Brown, whatever they said about it was hard for them to see Hillary Clinton in the White House, and it was easier to see, you know, to support Donald Trump because they didn't have a father for you, which is so unfortunate, but it is so accurate for so many people because when you go to school, young people, the people that they see as role models don't always look like them. And you grow up admiring people, hating them at the same time, being mistreated by them, but also admiring them because when you're a child and when you're impressionable, you go based off of what your subconscious tells you. You don't go based off of what you should be doing. And if you are unfortunate and do not have a positive black or, you know, positive role model of color for whatever your background is, you don't have people in your life that are of your background, the only people that you can look at is people of other cultures. So you begin to admire them, try to be like them, try to, you know, try to not drown, but you also are mistreated by them and you hate them and love them. Stockholm syndrome. That is something that, you know, unfortunately, it's possibly very prevalent in the life of a lot of us, and we don't get it. We don't understand.
And you know what's interesting is the fact that there are more men of European descent that grew up without a father than African men or Hispanic men.
And we'd never know that. Like, that's something that I would never even have known that until you just said it just now.
No, because there are more single, unwed teenage mothers than there are black and Hispanic combined. There are more women and families led by mothers combined.
You know, and I knew that, but I didn't really realize it. I didn't realize it. But then they had a whole show, that Teen Mom show, started out with majority of them.
I didn't even
think about that.
And all the time, here we are thinking that we got a problem. Everybody got a problem.
Yeah, and it's the same problem across the board. But you believe what people want you to believe.
But now go back to Synecdoche. Do they represent... Do their individual understandings represent all of them? They don't let that happen. So here we are thinking we the problem and they the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even see it. But it's right in front of us.
That's crazy.
That's interesting.
That's crazy.
Synecdoche. They got us believing all this nonsense about us.
Mm-hmm.
We think we the problem, but just like Humpty Trumpty will do, he will make you think you the problem so that you don't recognize the fact that he's the problem. This is just the way things are. And as African people, like I always say, we got to get the paralysis out of the analysis. I think this was in Hidden Colors 1. I said that black folk don't have a problem. White folk got a problem. Black folk problem is that white folk got a problem. We suffer from their problem, not our problem. And it's not that we don't have our own individual problems, but we don't have a problem as a group. We have individual problems, but not a group problem. In fact, you know, women of African descent, because the study was done. I think we spoke about this before. There was a sister that I worked with that she was a diversity liaison in a very affluent school, Choate Rosemary, up in Connecticut, Wallingford, Connecticut, very affluent school. And some of the students that I had taught in middle school in District 9 in the Bronx got scholarships there. And I used to visit schools, and so some of the students that remembered me invited me to do presentations for Black History Month. This sister did a study on self-esteem. And because she was in an affluent school, there were far more students of European descent than African and Hispanic descent. She did, not just in her high school, but across the board, found that approximately 85% of African women had no problems with self-esteem. And 15% of European women had no problem with self-esteem. So it was inverted. 85% of African women had self-esteem. Because even though brothers many times speak out of turn, even though they say things to Black women, they're always giving you compliments. Oh, baby, you look so fine. I want to get with you. Now, those may be unwarranted.
Don't encourage these people.
They're compliments. They're making you feel good about yourself, although you may not want to hear it that way or what they. But men of European descent.
Or it's early in the morning and I haven't had Or it's early in the morning and I haven't had coffee yet. Don't talk to me.
That's why women of European descent try to alter themselves to be acceptable and pleasable to men. And normally, they try to look like Black women.
Like Black women? Black fishing.
Everything that they do, from tanning to putting things in their body, give them more physical appearance, like larger breasts and bigger butts and all that. All they're doing is to Black, because those are the characteristics of a Black woman. That's why Black women who are prostitutes put on blonde wigs. Because the European man wants to see part of his culture, but want to be with Black women.
Wow.
So we don't even realize how much they want to be us. And the reason why they hate us is because they want to be us. But we don't see it because we buy into the literal conversation about them telling us how inferior we are, how our complexion is ugly, our nose is ugly, our bodies are too male, but at the same time, that's what they crave. When you look at all of the different people out here, what they do, the lip enhancements, the body structure, even watch Botched. If you watch Botched on TV and you see what they're trying to do to them.
Yeah.
But we don't see it because we're too busy listening to what they're telling us and not what they're doing. The whole time they're telling you how ugly your complexion is, how your dark complexion is ugly. Is the whole time that they're laying on the beach or going to suntan parlors to look like you. They're not happy with themselves. You know, bodybuilders, one of the things that a bodybuilder has to do is have a tan.
And a dark tan.
And so what did they do? They took a woman who had had breast augmentation, who had blonde hair and blue eyes. They braided her hair and they made a movie about the most perfect woman. They called it 10. So their image of the most beautiful woman on the earth was blonde hair, blue eyes, melanated skin, and a body like a Black woman.
Interesting.
This is their image of great beauty. The whole time they're telling us how inferior we are, they trying to get like us. And it's an unfortunate situation that we don't get it. Because we don't understand why they feel towards us the way they feel towards us. It goes back to the story you tell Sasha about your roller skating activity.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. I was just thinking about that.
That's what it goes back to. They're going to tell you how good they got it and how bad you got it, but the whole time they crave to have what you have.
Mm.
But we don't get it.
True.
I'm not saying that
True.
Makes us superior. I'm just saying that they want what you got.
But it's just crazy because of what you say about everybody, that there only being one race. Everybody is just a different version of the original race anyway. So the fact
That's
that
it.
They like it, the fact that they like it means they're, you know, when you talk about, you know, during the Ice Age when they, you know, even with the albino gorillas, how they will only mate with melanated gorillas because they know that if they don't, that their species is going to be extinct. When they mated with, you know, when white people came out of the Ice Age and mated with each other, they created more people like them instead of going back to the way it originally was. But they still
That's
have it.
It
in them to want to be part of the original group. And even
That's
they
it.
Don't even realize it. But they can't be it. That's what jealousy and envy does. It makes you question if you're good enough, but
That's
it
right.
makes you still want what you want. You want what you can't
That's
have.
Right.
You still want it, but you're going to convince other people that what they have is not good enough.
That's right. And you see, the whole time that they're doing that, they're really trying to return back to the original form that they know that they are.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to sneak in without you realizing it.
That's it. And, you know, had they, when they came out of the ice, turned back and understood why the Creator gave those Africans that had depigmented themselves and had gone into the Ice Age, if they had understood what they had to do, they would have done what Snowflake, the albino gorilla, did.
Mm-hmm.
In order to bring themselves back onto the human chain of events, they would have mated with the melanated family. And today we would be living in a world that is not experiencing what we're experiencing. Of course, there would
a
still be varying complexion. There would
mm-hmm.
be varying pigmentation. But we would all be working peacefully towards the human family. It was a blessing that the African lost his and her pigmentation.
Mm.
And they changed. Because they would not have survived being heavily pigmented in the ice. They wouldn't have survived. They would have gotten rickets, which is bone deformation. So in their depigmentation, it was a blessing because it gave them a chance to survive.
Wow.
However, once they returned out of the ice, they should have returned back to the original family.
Wow.
Instead, they forbid themselves. And in so doing, they're on the road to extinction as we speak.
Mm.
I'm talking sociologically now. I'm speaking psychologically. I'm not speaking from a cultural or a racial or a ethnic stock perspective. I'm just talking about the way science works.
Mm.
Cold contracts and heat expands. That's just the way science is.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we move forward as an African people, we have to understand why they want immigrants in Europe, why they want immigrants in America. They need a tax base because they're dying out. There are 26 states where there are more people dying than being born. When you deal with, you know, we're all looking at this regentrification. And we're talking about peoples of European descent moving into the black and Hispanic neighborhoods. There's a reason why that's happening. Because they're leaving their towns of Iowa and Ohio and Idaho and North and South Dakota. Because
mm-hmm.
their towns are dying.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're all coming from. And they're coming to the city. But they're not going to move where white folk live. So they got to move where we live.
They're moving to Harlem.
Harlem, Brooklyn. The Bronx?
So, bro.
This is what's happening. And there's a reality out here. And so our sisters, returning back to our conversation, people such as Stacey Abrams and Ayanna Presley and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Sister Tlaib, Congresswoman, and Auntie Maxine Waters. Okay, all of them are moving into a position to help us understand. Stacey Abrams gave one of the most powerful speeches after that guy that became the governor. She said, I did not lose. He cheated. So she was able to, with dignity, admit that she would not be governor, but it was not a concession speech. She did not concede. Even the brother Gillum gave a concession speech. Even though the guy that beat him, DeSantis, he cheated. He didn't win. He cheated. You don't win when you cheat.
That's
you
true.
Get what you got by cheating, but you didn't win. It's powerful.
Yeah.
And it's time. And it's happening.
There we go.
And it's happening in your generation. Because it's you who we're going to pass the baton on.
Yep, that's why we, because it ain't over till we win.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And when you have that type of attitude, then you understand what you experience ain't going to stop you. Like I told the man, you're not going to postpone the you are not going to cancel the future. You can postpone it, but you can't cancel the future. It's your time. Take it. And brothers, we need the help. We have to support and understand what time it is. And when I say an age, I'm talking about 2,160 years. I hear people say this is the year of the woman. This is beyond the year of the woman. This is the age of the woman. This ain't about 365.25. This is about 2,160.
I don't know if some people are going to be able to handle that.
I'm with it.
Well, you know something? People don't have a choice. You either in it to win it or you out of it. And you ain't, and you don't count.
That's true, though. That's amazing.
And people that got a problem with that, guess what? I'm living my best life.
There we go. I ain't got time to go back and forth with them.
Oh,
got that
man.
Right.
Well, people, this has been another amazing show.
Yes, it has. We're going to have
family.
Something exciting for you next week. Unless,
yeah.
Unless something exciting happens, then we'll have to change it the day before. Because that happens sometimes, too. We can have a whole week plan, and then something happens like, wait a second, I put a pause on that. Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah, we take
and,
it day
and
by
like
day
those who are listening, those that are listening that would like to contribute, let us know what you'd like us to talk about. Talk, you know, let us know
Absolutely.
What some of the topics that you'd like to get into are so that we can cover that also, because this is about us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we are on the discussions in the Black Room, the Instagram page, you can send a DM, you can send an email to us. We have our email information in the description box as well. And if you're on Instagram, it's discussions in the Black Room. And send us what you want us to talk about. We would love to hear. We would love to hear topics that, you know, that are interesting to people. If you want to call in and give us topics that we can talk about, that number is 929-477-3423, and press 1 to let us know that you have something to contribute. And we will be back again next week.
Yeah. Same time, same place.
Yes. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your week. Enjoy. Hopefully it's nice weather wherever you are, and fun time.
Yes. Thank you. Hotep.
Hotep.
Hotep. We're going to get into the song, and then we'll see you guys next week.
Better part of me.